Finally, Brew McCoy is transferring to Tennessee. This has been in the works for quite some time, but finally, last night, it became official. Tuesday night, Brew McCoy decided to transfer and announce his transfer to the University of Tennessee. We'll break down that. We'll be joined by Josh Ward here on your Wednesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, everybody? Welcome into this edition of Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day, and of course, your team is the University of Tennessee. Weekday mornings when you wake up, and this episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline.net, it is where the game starts, and of course, you can find this show on YouTube as well, and wherever you get your podcasts. As I said in the cold open, big show coming up today because Tennessee has another wide receiver. Isaiah Nair was thought to be the guy that would come and shore up the other side of that receiving corps opposite of Cedric Tillman. Tennessee gained the commit of Isaiah Nair. Ultimately, he decided to flip and go to Texas via the transfer portal closer to home. But Tennessee then turned its attention to some other targets, and Brew McCoy's been one that's been rumored for quite some time, and I gotta be honest for you, this has pretty much been a done deal for quite some time. It's just a matter of announcing it and getting the show on the road, and that officially happened on Tuesday. So what's this mean for the University of Tennessee? We'll talk to Josh Ward as well in segments 2 and 3, plus more with Josh on VFL's drafted into the NFL draft. Get his thoughts on Matthew Butler going to his team, the Raiders, and Theo Jackson to my team, the Titans, and everybody else as well. So that's the show rundown here on Locked On Vols. And you'll hear me tomorrow in the episode with John Garcia. Remember, those Thursday and Friday's episodes were pre-recorded because I am heading to the beach on a Wednesday morning, and you'll hear my conversation with John Garcia, and I'm talking in generalities about Brew McCoy because you always want to be careful, even though you know when something's about to happen. In the world of recruiting, sometimes it can always go strangely. They can decide not to do it that day or decide to do it the next morning or whatever. So I spoke in generalities about what would it mean if Tennessee got a Brew McCoy, knowing full-fledged Brew McCoy was going to commit, before the time I talked to John Garcia. But you'll find that out on tomorrow's show, and he gets some good, really good answers about what Brew McCoy would mean for this offense. And a lot of what he says is what I'm going to say now, too. It's a big, tall, explosive, wide receiver on the outside, a guy that, Tennessee had Javonte Payton. Javonte Payton wasn't that big, but he was explosive. Brew McCoy is a much bigger guy, 6'3". That's about the same height as Cedric Tillman. That's about half an inch shorter than Cedric Tillman, but nonetheless, 6'3", about 215 pounds. Actually, I think he's pushing about 220, so he's a bigger guy, and that's what you want in this offense. That's what you want Josh Heupel's offense in terms of outside receivers to help complement the shorter, speedier guys on the inside, but guys can go up and get it, right? And Cedric Tillman's obviously a guy that can go up and get it, and Brew McCoy is as well. At least that's what the belief is. He's had a very, very strange college career. Now, keep in mind, this is me trying to connect all the dots here and see if I get it all correctly. You got Brew McCoy, who signed out of high school with Southern Cal, transferred to the University of Texas, came back to Southern Cal, had to sit out a year, played in 6 games in the 2020 reduced season as the number 4 wide receiver, had about 220 yards receiving, 2 pair of touchdowns, that was it, and then didn't play in 2021 because of off-the-field issues. So the sample size is very small for Brew McCoy, but he's got the ability to believe that he can fit into this offense very, very well, and that's why he was one of the main targets that Josh Heupel was seeking via the transfer portal. So Brew McCoy to Tennessee. Now, Cedric Tillman has his running mate on the outside. Cedric Tillman on one side, Brew McCoy on the other. Jalin Hyatt in the interior, in the slot, rather. That's what we call that receiver in football, in the slot. And then you've got Jimmy Callaway that can go in there. You've got Walker Merrill that can go in there. You've got Squirrel White that can go in there on the slot. The backup guys on the outside, Jimmy Holiday, as well as Ramel Keaton and Chaz Nimrod and Caleb Webb. So those are the wide receivers, that kind of like that depth chart, if you will, what Tennessee will go into fall with at this moment. So needless to say, Tennessee's offense got a whole lot better. That's another, you know, check mark. That spot is filled. Wide receiver, still, you know, question mark at offensive tackle. Who's going to step up and play that? But wide receiver, check. We'll see if Tennessee adds a veteran running back through the portal. You know, they've been looking to add a veteran running back through the portal to kind of add to the group, and we'll see if that actually gets done. It's got to be the right fit, but needless to say, that's Tennessee still trying to up its offense, just like it has earlier in the week with the addition of Andre Turrentine via the transfer portal to the defensive backfield. So all in all, pretty good week via the transfer portal for the University of Tennessee. You have Andre Turrentine deciding to come back to the University of Tennessee. I say back, coming back to the state of Tennessee. He is from Nashville, Tennessee, where he attended Innsworth High School. High school teammates of Tyler Barron, who attended Innsworth before Knoxville Catholic, and Wesley Walker, the incoming transfer from Georgia Tech. So Tennessee gets some competition in the defensive backfield with the addition of Andre Turrentine, and then it gets the addition of a starting wide receiver, if healthy, in Brew McCoy. So, big week for Josh Heupel in the transfer portal. There are still some more slots to fill, and we will see exactly how active Tennessee is in the portal. You got a ginormous recruiting weekend coming up at the end of the month, Memorial Day weekend. So, Tennessee's got a little bit of momentum right now, that is for sure. But it all, kind of kicked into another gear on Tuesday night when Brew McCoy decided to commit to the University of Tennessee. So Josh Ward's coming up here in segments 2 and 3. Looking forward to catching up with him. And that's coming up next here on Locked On Vols. But first, the Built Bars. Guys, summer is coming in with a hot, with a bang. And you're going to need something to fuel you on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bag, in your kids' backpacks. Make sure everyone has a bar so you're fueled up and ready for some more summer adventures. The best part about Built Bars, they are healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. With Built Bar, you can have both. It's that easy. All you have to do is go to Built.com and order right now. Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, and that means you can eat healthy and, you know, enjoy doing it, right? It's all so delicious. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein. So good for you, and it's especially good for you when you compare it to a normal candy bar that's got about 240 calories. The selection is incredible. Banana cream pie, raspberry double chocolate cookies and cream, the new puff bars, all that and more. You can find it at Built.com. Go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That is at Built.com. It's Wednesday. You know what that means. It is Ward Wednesday time here on Locked On Vols. Welcome back into the show. I'm Eric Kay. Now joining the show, former host and current host of Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal. His name is Josh Ward. Josh, new week. Glad you can join us again.
Great to be with you as always. Thank you.
Yeah, obviously the big news that came out later last night, we'll call it 8:30. Brew McCoy finally comes to the University of Tennessee, at least commits to the University of Tennessee. Feel like this has been long awaited. This has been expected for quite some time. I'll be honest with you, the story has been written for a long time. But Brew McCoy transferring to the University of Tennessee, and needless to say, this is a huge addition for this offense.
Yeah, literally and figuratively, because he can bring size to that wide receiver position. He's a big-time athlete. He is a highly touted player when you go back to his recruiting days, and he's taken a very unusual path to get to Tennessee. But he's a guy that he could have gone anywhere he wanted to as a prospect, Texas, USC. And when he played at USC, not a big sample size, but I think he showed that he can be a playmaker. And I think in this offense, there is plenty of reason to be confident that he will do that. So it takes pressure off Cedric Tillman. I think you have two legitimate outside guys that should allow Jalin Hyatt and whoever else emerges, because I would expect at least one, maybe two more players at the wide receiver position to be able to emerge and be options. You obviously have tight ends. Jacob Warren is somebody that will factor into this conversation too. So adding Brew McCoy is adding a big time talent, and I think it will help his teammates in the passing game.
Yeah, he kind of fits that bill of what Josh Heupel, what Alex Golish, what Kelsey Pope, what they want in an outside wide receiver. Big, taller, physical. Javonte Payton wasn't necessarily all those things, but he was explosive and he was a little bit taller, right? Brew McCoy is taller than Javonte Payton. Brew McCoy is the same height, I believe, as about 6'3", you know, almost 6'4", as Cedric Tillman, but he weighs about 220 pounds. He just kind of fits what this offense looks for in an outside wide receiver.
He really does. I think Tennessee's upgraded there, and Ramel Keaton's a player that can factor in, but if we're talking about Tillman and Keaton on the outside, you know, Keaton's a guy that when he went in last year, I think he showed that he had improved, but he was not an explosive playmaker there. Brew is an explosive athlete in terms of his overall ability, and he's an older guy now coming in. I mean, he's a transfer that's now a few years removed from the recruiting process as a high schooler. So I just think this will open up a lot of things for Tennessee offensively. Hinton Hooker became a better quarterback with the announcement from Brew McCoy. And I think also Tennessee staff has been planning as if it's going to have Brew. They just didn't have him on the practice field this past spring. So when I've looked at Tennessee's offense and what I think it can be this year, at least internally, because it hasn't happened yet publicly, my thought has been Brew McCoy being an outside option for Tennessee. So I just think it's really good news as long as he comes in and takes care of business, because he hasn't always been available. And that's been a problem for Brew. But when he's been on the field, he's been a really good player, I think.
Yeah, I'm just trying to piece together this timeline. And of course, I like you. It's been a Brew McCoy will be at Tennessee, not a matter of if he will be at Tennessee. It's just been a matter of when. And so when I start projecting that offense, you know, kind of in my mind and everything, it's Tillman on one side, it's McCoy on the other. And now, you know, it is official with his commit yesterday. But if I'm getting this correctly, he was a part of the 2019 signing class, signed on with Southern Cal, transferred to Texas, came back to Southern Cal, played in six games in 2020 and was like the number four receiver. I think he had two touchdowns, about 221 yards receiving, and then obviously had to sit out this past season due to some off-the-field issues. You're exactly right. He has not been made available very often to be such an old guy.
Right. I don't remember a path like this, but I don't think anybody has ever questioned his ability along the way. And there's a reason that USC wanted to bring him back when he went to Texas, right? Because they knew what his ability was. So as long as he's able to put everything together off the field to be available on the field, I have no doubt that he can be a good, productive player when you also factor in what kind of offense he's joining. So part of it is what Tennessee is. I was going to have confidence in the offense no matter who was out there, but you still want to upgrade talent anytime you can do that. And I think Tennessee has done that, adding Brew McCoy. This is an example when we talk about guys who have success and they can kind of help you recruit in the future. Tennessee just had Velus Jones, who had an extra year of eligibility. He used it at Tennessee this past year with a new coaching staff, had success, and ended up being a third-round pick. And we've seen Velus publicly recruit. Well, Velus was at USC, remember, where Brew McCoy was. So I think this is an example of you come in and you're able to help guys who return to the school have success, and then they kind of recruit on your behalf. I think that helped in this case.
You know, Tyler Ivins asked me on the starting lineup on Tuesday morning, is Andre Turrentine the biggest transfer get for Tennessee out of the portal? And I said, as of now, it's between him and Gerald Mincy likely. Or I mean, really, we don't know, because you know Turrentine's going to compete for snaps. Wesley Walker, his former Innsbruck teammate, is going to compete for snaps. Gerald Mincy is going to compete to start. But I said, officially, maybe. But if Brew McCoy comes, Brew McCoy is without a doubt the biggest addition so far. I think that's the case now. But back to Andre Turrentine, he went ahead and transferred to Tennessee, made that commitment announcement on Monday. I think he's a guy that can play both safety, both spots. I think he's a guy that can play the star position. If you're in a bind, I think he can play cornerback. He's not a guaranteed starter by any stretch of the imagination. He'll have to fight out a bunch of other guys and earn those reps, but more competition for a group that needs to get a whole lot better.
That to me is where I would start the conversation, is that you create real competition in the defensive backfield, which didn't exist in the spring because too many guys were out. So you'll try to pick that back up during the summer months and obviously when fall camp begins in August. But adding Turrentine is adding somebody who's talented. He was competing every day at Ohio State. Doesn't get much tougher than the teammates he's competing with in the defensive backfield. That was a defensive backfield last year that had a lot of talent and still coming back. That's why he was likely a backup option this fall, but also the receivers he went up against in practice, there was no better competition than what you were going to face in practice, where you're facing really three first rounders, because two guys that just went and one that'll go next year in Ohio State's receiving core, so a ton of talent. So he comes in and can push other guys, either veterans who are coming back like Flowers and McCullough. Christian Charles is, I think, definitely going to factor in this fall. McDonald, and then guys who are out, Turnage and Haddon, and Wesley Walker coming in. Talking about impact transfer, let's see what Turrentine does right away. There's a chance right away Wesley Walker is the bigger impact player long-term. Maybe it's Turrentine, but immediately there's the competition. And you never know with injuries, so we can have the conversation for August and September, but Eric, the season can be a long run, so you almost anticipate injuries occurring. You never, there can be a targeting in the first quarter where you lose a guy for a game and somebody has to go in, yeah. And Turrentine then ends up being an option for you. So maybe it's right away, but you probably got better on special teams right away. You got better in practice right away. And either short-term or long-term, you found a guy that most likely will be able to help you on the field on Saturdays.
You know what's funny? I have never had more questions about one position group than I do about the secondary coming back, because you're going to have all these guys coming back and thrown into one room, right? Because of that, do you move Christian Charles back to safety? Do you move Christian Charles to star? I think we all believe Christian Charles is going to play some snaps this fall. It's just a matter of where. Does that mean Trayvon Flowers can go and play the star position? Can Wesley Walker step in and play that? Can Turrentine play that? Can Danico Slaughter play that? I've never had more questions about one position group than I do right now, and it'll all be fizzled out come fall time. But I do find it a little bit interesting there. What's your take on the defensive backfield right now? And I think it's impossible to predict, you know, who's going to play where. But at the end of the day, you do bring back experience, and now you have options to where if your safety's too slow over the middle of the field, you can take his butt out and put somebody else in, right?
Yeah, that's where the competition comes in. I think that'll get settled, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Christian Charles push for a starting position at safety. Your colleague, Austin Price, was on Josh and Swain with us a couple weeks ago, and I asked for somebody who had made the most of spring. He actually said Trayvon Flowers, said, you know, maybe he's a guy that can make a jump. And we have to remember, we can kind of decide what a player is, and then he can go prove us wrong. So I think Trayvon Flowers, a guy that's been around, and you see the secondary have some issues, they go, okay, it's time to find a replacement. But we might have said that about Theo Jackson a year ago, and then he ends up a year later being a guy that's drafted into the NFL. I'm not saying Flowers is going to be that, but what if he makes a leap and is a higher-level player for you? So you have real competition with Charles helping there at that position, so he could start. McCullough still played a lot, needs to play at a higher level, I think. Tamarion McDonald, Danico Slaughter. Here's what helps is that we're talking about more players. Because I came out of that bowl game, I know it's a bowl game, but I looked at the personnel, Eric, and I said, I don't know next year, the way that Purdue was slicing up that secondary, which was, you know, kind of patchwork because Alante Taylor was unavailable, and we knew that they would have an offseason to try to improve. But now that you improve the personnel with Wesley Walker coming in, I mean, he's played a good amount of football. That's where you look to the experience, and if he can continue to improve and the coaching staff can help him, you have more to work with. So I'm not saying that it's going to be a top half of the league secondary, but yeah, Eric, if we go back to January and I'm projecting, I'm saying, you know, bottom three or four secondary in the SEC would be my fear. Maybe it is that, but I think it has a chance to be a lot better because they got more athletic here recently, and I think they got deeper.
Yeah, we're going to have more with Josh Ward coming up here in segment three of the show. Plenty to get into about Vols and the NFL draft. But right now, I want to tell you about Rock Auto, the ever-increasing makes of models. It's now impossible for your local chain of auto parts store to stock up on all the parts that you may need. So why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning while you wait for the person behind the counter to order the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands and specifications that their warehouse happens to carry? You have access to rockauto.com. in your home and in your pocket with your mobile device, right? Save time and money with rockauto.com. Don't spend up to 30, 50, sometimes even 100% more on the same parts for your chain or your car dealership when you can go find those same parts at rockauto.com. It's a family business that's been serving customers online for over 20 years, the professionals and the do-it-yourselfers, and the prices are always so reliably low for every single customer. You guys know this. I've had car troubles in the past year, and where I go to solve those car troubles, I go to rockauto.com, and they help me out every single time. It's a family that you can trust there online, delivered straight to your door. Visit rockauto.com and find all the parts available for your car and your truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit my friends at rockauto.com. We got a final segment left here on this Wednesday edition of Locked On Vols. As always, thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen wherever you find your podcast, and maybe you're watching this on YouTube. I really, really do enjoy this new demographic we've kind of branched off into in the YouTube world. I've met a lot of you guys, and y'all are good people. Speaking of good people, don't have anybody else on here, but we do have Josh Ward. Josh, you look at me. I'm just kidding, buddy. Don't worry. I'm looking at five Tennessee volunteers.
Hey, that's fine.
Yeah, five Tennessee volunteers drafted last weekend, and I think we all assume four. Let's start with Theo Jackson. And it wasn't just the hometown kid getting picked by Nashville and Tennessee Titans. They had another pick in the sixth round, and they selected somebody else after selecting Theo Jackson. I think that just goes to prove that it just takes one team to fall in love with you, right?
For sure. And what a story for him to be able to go back and have a chance to play in his hometown. And what he did, he's an example of taking advantage of extra time, and he continued to improve. And he's a guy that had been probably written off as somebody that could play at a high level at Tennessee, let alone get to the NFL. And he still has to make the team, and there's no guarantee of what will happen. But I said on Josh and Swain last week that I liked Theo's chances to make an NFL team as an undrafted guy. Well, now that the Titans have taken him in the sixth round, they've shown the investment, which will give him an even better opportunity. May not be right away. Maybe he's on a practice squad some this upcoming year, but we've seen guys either undrafted or late in the draft recently make the most of an opportunity. Shy Tuttle and Marquez Callaway down in New Orleans. In the defensive backfield, look at what Justin Coleman and Emmanuel Mosley have done. Juwan Jennings' late pick with the San Francisco 49ers. And I think there's a good chance that Theo can do that as well, because we've already seen him improve. Why can't he continue to do that? And I know a thing to point to with this class is, look at all these old guys that had extra year of eligibility because of COVID, but there's still room to improve. And Theo's a guy that he's smart. He's played a lot at Tennessee. He's going to work hard. Versatile, I think, in the secondary. So let's see what he can do. But the Titans made it clear that they value him with taking him, because they probably knew or anticipated at least that they could have picked him up as an undrafted player, but they didn't want to take that chance because they might have expected the other teams would be calling. So go ahead and take him. That'll give him a better chance of making the team this fall.
Alante Taylor in the second round to the Saints, Valus in the third round to the Bears, Matthew Butler in the fifth round to the Raiders, Cade Mays, sixth round to the Panthers, and of course, Theo Jackson, sixth round to your Tennessee Titans. Josh, favorite fit, best fit? I know you're probably excited to see Matthew Butler with your team with the Raiders, but which draft selection do you think is in the best spot right now?
Well, I really think it worked out for all guys in terms of where they went. I'm sure that like Matthew Butler would have liked to have been drafted earlier, but going to the Raiders in that spot, I think, works out really well for him. I think Velus Jones going to Chicago, I wonder about the direction of that organization, but there's a young quarterback that you can come in and try to make a connection with in Justin Fields, and they need help at that position, and he was their top offensive guy taken. So that's good, and then he'll have a chance to help immediately in special teams. But the first guy taken, Alante Taylor, I like the spot for him because you have the defensive coordinator taking over as the head coach, Dennis Allen, replacing Sean Payton. So the defensive guy running the show is going to, I think, have a good idea of how to use Alante. They also bring in Tyrann Mathieu. So that defensive backfield is deeper. You have a veteran that you can learn from. We know how Alante works and that he will soak up everything that he can. So I think there's less pressure on Alante coming in because second round pick, I mean, you're expected to come in and make a big difference. Well, now Tyrann Mathieu is going to be the guy that people point to as the newcomer to come in and make a big difference. So I think that takes pressure off Alante. And my thought has been slot corner for Alante, but he's versatile as well. So they'll find the right spot for him, I believe. So I come back to the highest guy taken for Tennessee as the best fit. More pressure as a second-round pick, but I don't think Alante's worried about that.
You mentioned a moment ago top offensive guy taken for the Chicago Bears, and that's Velus. And you know, kind of worrisome of the direction of that program or of that organization, which I would agree with. I mean, if you're Justin Fields, you have absolutely no weapons. No weapons. Am I crazy to think Velus is almost a, you got to go out there and earn it. I get that. He's a third round pick, but Velus is almost a log for the, you know, to be in that, you know, top, you know, at least wide receiver number four for that team. They have no options.
Yeah, it's a concern for the team. There's real opportunity for Velus coming in. If they're taking him as a third round pick, then they are saying that we expect to use you more right away. I don't think that's just for special teams help. So he will have a chance. I think there's a good chance we'll see Velus on the field. I hope that they are smart in using him in different ways. the comparison I've made, not to say that he is at the level of Deebo Samuel, but a guy that can be used in different spots in the field. And I think Velus is that kind of player because of his speed, his athleticism, and he is an older guy. So I think an intelligent player that'll show up and be able to help in different ways. So his versatility, again, that's kind of the theme word of Tennessee's players, I think, in this draft, guys that can be used in different spots, that's special teams, that's on offense. But yeah, there's a real opportunity immediately. We had a guest on Josh and Swain, Dave Bartu, known as College Football Matrix, and he actually pointed to where you're drafted as a receiver at that position specifically. History shows what kind of opportunity you get immediately. And going in the third round, being that first day or two, that is a higher level investment, which means teams expect more of you, will give you more opportunity probably right away.
So you heard it here first. You have Velus Jones greater than Deebo Samuel. That's from our very own Josh Ward. Hey, last thing, man, let's talk about the big boys, the trench play. You mentioned it. Matthew Butler probably wanted to be taken earlier. I'm shocked Alante was picked in the second round. After seeing the run on wide receivers in the first round, I kind of sense that Velus would be picked a lot higher than what we normally thought he would. But I thought Matthew Butler maybe slotted in that end of the third round, right? But going to your Raiders, and then Cade Mays, versatility is the reason why, if he's healthy, he'll make the roster. He'll be the swing guy for the Carolina Panthers. What do you like about those two guys and their destinations and their chances to make the active roster on game days?
Yeah, Matthew Butler, I think, can just play. So he's I'm a Raiders fan. I was thrilled when they were able to get him in the fifth round because I thought he was worth taking higher. If there's a defensive lineman that I believe is going to be able to play in the league for several years, I want him on my team because of the importance of that position. So the Raiders getting, in my opinion, a steal is great for the franchise. He'll probably have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. Not that he would have lacked for motivation. If Matthew had gone in the third round, I'd still say he's going to go in motivated, but nevertheless, you'll take it if you're on the franchise end of things. For Cade Mays, I think you have to look at it like Trey Smith a year ago. Trey Smith went later than he wanted to or probably expected to. I'm sure Cade Mays a year or 2 years ago, certainly when he came out of high school, was thinking, I'll be a first, second, maybe third round pick. I'm going to be a really high draft pick, and it didn't work out that way. But it's more of a health situation. So if Cade's able to stay healthy, I don't really have much question whether he can play in the NFL. He showed it. Here's the word again, versatility at Tennessee, being able to play tackle when probably more suited for guard. So he'll have a chance to play. Maybe he's not a starter right away, but maybe that allows him to hold up longer. So it's more about the medical, I think, for Cade Mays. If there were no injury concerns, he would have been drafted higher. So can you stay healthy? If Cade can, he'll play for the Carolina Panthers, and he can play for several years in the NFL. And that's why I thought it was the right move to go on to the NFL. He could have come back for another year, but he spent 4 years in college, played out of position where it helped Tennessee, and he was productive there, but dealt with injuries in college, could have dealt with more, which would have hurt his chances to have a longer career in the NFL. So it was the right time to go.
You mentioned Trey Smith being a sixth-round pick, and this is a complete sidebar, but you look at that Kansas City interior offensive line. I mean, you talk about being positioned for greatness for the next 7-8 years. You can go from Trey Smith at one guard, Creed Humphrey at center, Darian Kennard, who they got in, I believe, the fifth round. That interior for the Kansas City Chiefs, the reason that organization wins a lot of games, because they know how to evaluate talent and bring talent to the roster. Josh, as always, man, thanks so much. What is coming up later on the show, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday?
Yeah, a lot to get to. We've kind of transitioned from the draft, so we look ahead for Tennessee. So we'll talk Brew McCoy. That'll be a part of the conversation. We'll talk Andre Turrentine, the roster looking ahead. Matthew Butler, speaking of him, was a guest on Tuesday's show on Josh and Swain. So if you want to go back and listen, you can find Tennessee's former defensive lineman now with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Awesome stuff. Josh and Swain, noon to 3 every day on the Sports Animal. Josh, thanks, dude.
You got it. Thank you.
And that's going to do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols, your Wednesday show. Don't forget, Thursday and Friday shows will be made available for you guys. But if anything breaks, I will be active on Twitter, but I will not be back to record another show until Monday at the beach. So all those shows are pre-recorded. So thank you so much for hanging out with me and making Locked On Vols your first listen. You guys know the drill. Make Locked On SEC your second listen. Chris Gordy, Sports 790 in Houston. Awesome job. Interviews all across the SEC. Give Locked On SEC, if you're an SEC fan, your second listen behind your first listen, which of course is Locked On Vols. Hey, we will do it again tomorrow for a Thursday, but until then, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody.